The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
He was a handsome, highly educated in the best English schools, a respected professional, and a first-class amateur athlete. He was also a serial killer, the Victorian equivalent of the modern-day Ted Bundy, also known as Jack the Ripper. Author Jonathan Haynsworth, the author of The Escape of Jack the Ripper, The Truth About the Cover-Up and His Flight from Justice, being released today by Regnery History. You can find it at regnaryhistory.com. On our guest line this morning, Mr. Haynsworth. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Hudson. Thank you for having us on.
Oh, what a pleasure it is. And I can't wait for our listeners to be able to read the book. Let's talk for a minute about the person that we've always known as Jack the Ripper. What is Jack the Ripper's real name?
His name was Montague John Druitt, and he was a young and successful defense lawyer and school teacher. And as you said in the introduction, he was a gentleman above suspicion. He even did charity work in Whitechapel, which was the most impoverished suburb in Victorian London. And from there, he decided that he would launch a reign of terror on the city by murdering poor, defenseless women driven into prostitution by poverty.
Yeah. Just really a most unlikely person to be committing these crimes. Now, you spent years compiling information on Jack the Ripper and the murders. What made you decide to write the book, Jack the Ripper?
Well, funny enough, it was because I'm a school teacher myself, and I teach high school history. In fact, I teach a lot of American history, even though I'm an Australian teacher in South Australia. And I just used Jack the Ripper as an example of poverty and true crime in Victorian England, and I just expected to do a couple of lessons on that and move on. But it was the students who were more interested in it than I was, and who were sort of saying, these sources don't seem to make a lot of sense. And I thought, well, they're right. They don't make sense. There's something not quite right here. And so I began investigating it, and I was assisted by Christine Ward Aegis, the co-author of The Escape of Jack the Ripper. And what we discovered that makes our book different from everybody else's book on this well-worn subject is that it's not a mystery. The identity of the murderer isn't a mystery. It was solved at the time by a police chief, and that police chief shared the solution with the late Victorian public, although not the killer's name, because he was deceased by then.
Now, he was actually arrested at one point, I understand. How did he manage to get loose?
We think that he was arrested on the night that he murdered two poor defenseless women in the space of about an hour. And he was picked up when he may have been about to murder a third woman. And he went to the police station, and because he was the nephew of a very famous Victorian doctor, and because he was a gentleman, he was able to bluff his way to freedom, even though he had bloodstained cuffs, which he was able to say, well, I just do a bit of charity work, and I used to be a medical student before I became a lawyer. And frankly, we think that he probably left with an apology for having been detained, you see.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there really was not a lot of investigation by Scotland Yard. Now, Scotland Yard, known worldwide for their investigative skills. So because of his background and all, you think that's the real reason that Scotland Yard just seemed to look the other way and not even be suspicious?
I think so. It was a very class stratified society, and pedigree was sort of like everything. But it was also because it is an era that predates fingerprint identification or even blood type differentiation. So in a sense, even if they'd arrested Druitt, all he had to do was say, I didn't do it and I got blood on me because I assisted someone who was injured in Whitechapel. And really, they couldn't disprove it. They just weren't really equipped to deal with a murderer who didn't know his victims until he killed them. A serial killer was something that just really crashed into their methods of detection and bringing someone to justice.
Yeah. On our guest line this morning, Jonathan Haynesworth, the author of The Escape of Jack the Ripper, The Truth About the Cover-Up and His Flight from Justice. You can go to RegnaryHistory.com for additional information on this. Now, talk with us about Alice McKenzie. Her death occurred after Druitt's death, and some sort of proved that he was not Jack the Ripper. Tell us about Ms. McKenzie.
Well, Ms. McKenzie was, again, a poor woman who had no means to support herself, and she ended up becoming a streetwalker, and she was strangled to death by a killer who remains unknown to this day. And in fact, there are actually a few Alice McKenzies after Druitt's death, in the sense that there are other women who were prostitutes in that area who were murdered, whom the press and the public and the police assumed was also, these were the victims of Jack the Ripper. And it was only years later when the police chief stumbled upon a leak from Druitt's family, and he investigated it, that he discovered that, in fact, they'd been chasing a ghost. They thought all of these murders were by the same killer. In fact, Druitt only did five of them, and then he drowned himself in the Thames. What the police chief never understood, but which other people at the time did, was that Druitt, although he came from a well-to-do background, he was turned on by socialism. And what he was doing was he was a terrorist. He's not just evil and sick in killing and cutting up these women post-mortem. He also is attempting a terroristic reign of sort of socialist terror against London, because he's rubbing the so-called better class's noses in the poverty of the East End by drawing attention to Whitechapel through these terrible atrocities.
Based on what you know about the crimes at the time and what how Jack the Ripper operated, do you think anyone could get by with such crimes in today's world?
Well, I mean, some people, tragically, are able to get by, but that usually depends on what country you're in and how capable the police force is. I think that in the age of the internet, and obviously DNA, I think someone like Druitt might have been stopped quicker, but maybe not. I mean, we don't know. I mean, there are still people who manage to kill a lot of strangers in that cowardly and sick way, and we don't catch them straight away.
Yeah, yeah. What about one of your favorite parts of the book? Share with us your favorite short story in the book.
Well, I think that one of the things that that we were very pleased to study and find was that the Druitt family were both tormented by what Montagu was doing, and they were trying to stop their member from doing it, but they didn't want to just go to the police because they felt that it would go public then and their reputations and their lives would be destroyed. So what they did was they put Montagu Druitt into a French asylum under a different name in the hope that they could, you know, kind of put him away across the channel outside of Paris and sort of throw away the key sort of thing. I mean, a very expensive French asylum. And it all backfired completely because a nurse who speaks recognized what he's confessing to. And so they had to move him yet again from there and back to London.
Yeah. On our guest line, Jonathan Haynesworth, you can purchase the book. Tell us how our listeners can buy their own copy of The Escape of Jack the Ripper.
Well, it should be available from today in various bookshops, or they can get it online from Amazon, or they can apply it directly to Regnery. the publisher per copy.
And that's RegnaryHistory.com, RegnaryHistory.com. And today is the actual release date, correct?
Yes, in your country, yes.
Yeah. Jonathan Hainsworth, so good talking with you. Good luck with this. And what an interesting book.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hudson, for allowing us to be interviewed by you. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. It's good to have you. Jonathan Hainsworth, again, you can get your copy of The Escape of Jack the Ripper. This is being released today by Regnery History. Go to regnaryhistory.com.